It's so good to be back on this side of the country. I want you to know that I had an interesting time, but also had a great time coming back. There were storms all across the middle of the United States, and when we started, we really didn't know that because we knew there were some storms around the Raleigh-Durham area, but not out Midwest. We started out, we were over Utah, and then we went down and we went into Kansas. And my wife claims we went through some heavy, heavy, dark, ominous clouds. And my wife claims she saw the Wicked Witch of the West fly by over Kansas. It was a very, tough flight. But what I'm getting to is, the pilot said, we're going to try to go as much around this storm as we can. And then when we, in a little while later, he came on, he says, we're coming into the major part of it. I want you to make sure your seat belts are buckled and that you sit tightly as we feel our way through this storm. Now, I don't know how you are, but when a pilot says, we're going to feel our way through this storm, that's not too comforting. He could have said a lot of things like, we're going to get through this in just a few. I mean, anything, but feel our way through this storm. But I realized I had to depend totally on him. I could not depend on me, nor anybody else other than God, and I began to pray that God would anoint the pilot with great wisdom to know how to feel his way through this storm. And we did run into some rough weather, but we did come out. And basically what we did was we went across, here's San Francisco, here's Chicago, where we had to have a change in flight. And we went from here down to here, back up to here. And so we lost about 30 minutes on our flight because we almost went to the Gulf to get around the, and then back up to Chicago. We went almost right by Raleigh-Durham to go to Chicago to come back to Raleigh-Durham. It was an interesting time. And I know many of you have had times like that where you have had the opportunity of entrusting your complete self to someone else. I want you to know something. God has called us to following him, and then he asks us to entrust ourselves to someone else. And we call this mentoring. God set up the mentoring program. God began, Jesus, when he, and he began in the Old Testament, he began with the early prophets and kings, and then he went all the way through. When he got to Jesus, Jesus left his disciples and he said, go ye therefore and make disciples, teaching them all things. That's called mentoring. Teaching them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'll be with you always, even to the ends of the earth. So mentoring is Christianity. Christianity is mentoring. I want to use an illustration this morning of Elijah and Elisha. And I want to read from our scripture this morning, and it's found in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 19 through 21. And I want us to stand together and read the scripture from the Word of God. So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with the 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed over unto him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, go back again, for what have I done to thee? And he returned from following him and took the yoke of oxen and slew them, and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen, and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah, and ministered unto him. Father, make your word become flesh to our hearts right now. In the name of Jesus, amen. Elijah and Elisha were prophets during the time of from Solomon to the division of the kingdoms. Now, this was a period of time of great upheaval, and the divisions of the kingdoms were north and south. The northern kingdom was known to have no king that pleased God. As a matter of fact, it said the northern kings did everything they did, and it was all evil in the sight of the Lord. But then the southern kingdom was known to have some really good kings. God blessed those kings in the southern kingdom, which was called Judah. Israel was the northern kingdom, and during this time of division, Elijah was the prophet. Elijah fought battle after battle with King Ahab and Jezebel and the kings of that time, and he literally at times had to run. You remember the great confrontation battle on top of Mount Carmel, when Elijah went there and stood with 400 Baal priests around him, all calling on their God to consume the altar, and nothing happened. And then Elijah stood forward and called on God to, he poured water all over the altar and then said, "Father, consume this altar." And immediately the altar was consumed with fire and it was burned up. The Baal priest ended up committing suicide, and Jezebel began a period of time, along with King Ahab, of chasing after Elijah. Elijah ran and hid. Elijah was constantly running, but he at least was trying to do battle with the evil that was going on. There were several hundred, actually I think 7,000 priests that were hiding in the hills, in caves. Elijah began to pray to God, "God, help us. We're being overtaken by evil. Evil's all around us. It's overwhelming us. We're having to run and hide." And on Mount Horeb, Elijah goes to the top of the mountain and he meets God. And God turns Elijah into a mighty man of God, even greater than he had been. And Elijah became emboldened. It was called the Elijah Revival. Now, we as a church are planning on having a revival in October. Why do we need a revival? Even Elijah, as great a prophet as he was, needed a time where he went to the top of the mountain and he became what we call an Elisha. But Elijah went to the top of the mountain, and there he received God's word. He was anointed, he was touched, he was filled, and he became empowered, and he went out to do battle. But before he did, God said, "I want you, before you anoint the new kings, before you do anything else as the great man of God, I want you to go to Elisha." And he told him where to go in Damascus. "I want you to go there, and I want you to put your mantle on Elisha." Now, the mantle was a skin that was of an animal that was of a certain type, that was a look that when anybody saw it, they knew that this was a man of God, but more so a prophet of God. And this particular mantle was a special mantle. He was the chief prophet of all the nation. He said, "Take that mantle and lay it on Elisha." And he did. He found Elisha. Now, where was Elisha? Elisha was in the fields, and Elisha was working. And he had 12 teams of oxen, and he was plowing the fields. And Elijah came up, and he took the mantle, and he laid it on Elisha. And he said, "I'm calling you out for God." And Elisha said, "That's amazing. Let me go home and kiss my parents." And he went home, he kissed them, came back. And then, as you read the story, he followed after Elijah. Elisha asked for a double portion from God of the Holy Spirit. Of everything that Elijah had, he asked for a double portion. And God said, "Are you sure you want, you know what you're asking?" And because along with the double portion of the Holy Spirit comes a double portion of the struggle, comes a double portion of the challenges, comes a double portion of sacrifice. Elijah said yes. As a matter of fact, he took that team of oxen and he slaughtered them. Now, what was the purpose? By the way, what was the why did they even mention the oxen and 12 teams of oxen? Because if you had one oxen, just one, then you were considered well off. If you had a team of oxen, you were considered very well off. This man had 12 teams of oxen. He was considered extremely wealthy, multimillionaire today. And yet, what did he do? The very thing that was a symbol of his wealth, he destroyed it. He killed it. He said, "I am not about wealth anymore. I am about following the living God." You notice in the scriptures it said that he said, "Be sure and understand what I have called you to do." And basically, that's what it says. If you look at this last part, "For what have I done to thee?" Now, a lot of people look at that and go, was he rebuking Elisha for going home to kiss his parents? He was saying, no, when you go home to kiss your parents, I want you to understand what you're doing. I want you to know what I have done to you, what I have placed on you, the anointing of God, what this means. Because once you leave your parents, you have left. No going back to your parents' basement. You're going on. And I'm calling you to a great ministry. Now, I want you to understand that there has always been a person who God used to carry on. And we always have been passing the mantle. As a matter of fact, if you go back, Noah passed the mantle to Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Jacob passed his mantle on to Joseph. Moses passed his mantle on to Joshua. As we follow it, Jesus passed his on to Peter, and Paul passed his on to Timothy. This is what we're called to do. On and on it goes. The way of God has always been to take his choice servant and make them an Elijah, and then make them an Elijah who looks for an Elisha to lead into being an Elijah. I believe everybody in the church is either an Elijah or an Elisha. There's no other thing. And in essence, if you're not an Elijah, you're an Elisha. And I've known people that are Christians that are Elishas for 30 years. They're always wanting to be trained. But God has called us all to be Elijahs. At some point, we need to be a mentor or someone who mentors. And this is the way the church works. If the church stops mentoring, if the church stops passing on the mantle to the next generation, we die as a church. There is no church. I believe this is a great mentoring church as a corporate body. I don't know if all of us are mentoring like God wants us to do, but I know that this is a great mentoring church because we send out a lot of people to a lot of different places and they go out in the name of the Lord and carry on the message of Jesus. As a matter of fact, this church is such a mentoring church. I think, I may be wrong, for the older people you might remember, about 12 churches have come out of this church. Isn't that about right? So, if 12 churches have come out of this church, that's called mentoring. As a corporate body, we are a great mentoring church. We've had 3 churches recently in this church. We still have 2 that we're mentoring with here. So this is, as a body, a great mentoring church. But individually, we need to be as mentoring as we are as a body. For the true Christian walk means I am either being trained or I am training. Now, sometimes we're both. I understand that. Sometimes we're Elijahs and we become Elishas for a while. Elijah did that. Elijah was leading and going about the countryside and witnessing and prophesying, and then he went and started hiding when Jezebel and Ahab came after him. Some of the other kings came after him, and he was hiding. What did he do, though? He went up on the mountain, on Mount Horeb, and sought God. That was an Elisha moment. That was where he was saying, God, mentor me. I need moments of retooling. I need moments where I am retooled. And so Elijah went up on the mountain. I myself went through about 8 years of mentoring in the middle of ministry. I had been a pastor many years, and then I went through a period of mentoring. And then I became a pastor again. I went from an Elijah to Elisha and back to an Elijah. But I think we're one or the other. I don't think God wants us to remain Elishas all our lives. This is not what he's called us to do. Mentoring, though, does affect both the mentor and the one who's mentoring. For instance, I believe Elijah was tremendously changed. He was encouraged. He was strengthened. He was revitalized when he was sent to Elisha. And God knew that. One of the great things that happens in a mentoring program, or when you're mentoring of someone, is you are strengthened almost more than the person that you're mentoring. Some of us have ups and downs, and when we're having a down, it's actually one of the better times to be mentoring. When we're struggling to find time to do things, we just don't have time, that's one of the best times to be a mentor. Because God can use us to build us up in those times. I want you to notice, though, he called out Elisha. No one comes to Jesus unless they've been called out. Now, yes, the Holy Spirit calls out, and the Holy Spirit is already called out. But men are called to call out. I was watching something on the television the other day, and the president had a couple of people come, and he shared their story, and I thought it was a tremendous story, which I'm going to share in a few minutes. But it was the calling out of someone to follow God. I believe we're called to call out. One of the things that interests me is I've had people say, I don't quite know how to lead people to Jesus. Well, what I found in the process of my period of time as an Elisha was I was taught to be an insurance salesman. And an insurance salesman taught me how to close the deal. I was trained on closing the deal. Most Christians don't know how to close the deal. And that's one of the big struggles why we don't lead more people to the Lord. Do you know what closing the deal means? Here's what I was taught. He said, how many times have you seen an insurance salesman who sits down with you and they sell something and they keep selling it and they keep selling it, and you want to say, shut up, I'm ready to buy, and they keep selling it and they keep selling it? Have you ever seen a used car salesman that won't shut up and won't say, you want to buy this car? They keep wanting to sell the car. No, stop and sell the car. Say, do you want to buy this car? Are you ready? We're afraid to ask that as Christians, but this is what we're called to do. What would keep you from accepting Jesus Christ today? That's the one question we need to ask. That's the one question we're missing so many times in our mentoring process. I know that there was one person that looked at me and said, have you accepted Jesus? I want you to give me one reason why you wouldn't walk this aisle this day and come and accept Jesus Christ right now. Can you give me a reason? Just as we do from the pulpit, that's the way we mentor people into the kingdom. As we look at them and we say, have you ever accepted Jesus? What would keep you from accepting Jesus right now? And then you lead them to Jesus. And people go, oh, what do I do then? the same thing that was done to you, you lead them in a prayer to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. What I often do is I kneel with a person and say, are you ready to accept Jesus right now? And if they say, yes, and they aren't 100% all the time, but if they say yes, then I say, all right, what I want you to do is I want you to kneel with me, or I want you to bow with me right now, and I want you to say this prayer, and I will pray it, and you pray it after me. And that's what I do. Okay? I believe that the way you lead somebody into the kingdom is you ask them to come into the kingdom. Also, by the way, if you're a mentor and you're mentoring, you ask people, can I meet with you? Most people are too busy to meet with you. But if you ask them, they a lot of times will say, sure. And you say, I'd like to just talk with you. And you help them grow in the teachings and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Elisha, notice, was a man who worked in the fields. He was a very busy man. He was about, by the way, he was wealthy. And he was out in the fields with his hired servants, working with his hired servants. He could have been languishing, watching television, like watching Oprah on television in the middle of the day. He could have been doing that, but he was out in the fields working. God is looking for people who are hard workers. He's looking to see if we honor our commitments. And it is a righteous thing for us to honor God in our secular work. He's looking for us to do that. Elisha did that. Mentoring is calling out young Christians to follow Christ, and then not only to follow Christ, but to follow in the way of Christ. And in the way of Christ means in the way that Christ wants us to live. I believe that a lot of young people today are not getting the word of Christ. They might even be Christians, but they're not being mentored. Mentoring means I lead them into the full knowledge of what it means to walk with Jesus. I don't give up on them in 2 months. I'm with them for a period of time, and I'm leading them into a deeper and a stronger walk with Jesus Christ. Parents, I believe it's your responsibility to mentor your children into a walk with Jesus Christ. I was looking at this and thinking Elijah knew that this was a hard-working man, and he went deliberately because God had led him there, but God saw that he was a committed working man. Noah was a carpenter. Moses was pasturing sheep. David was tending sheep in the fields. Peter was fishing as a fisherman. Paul was a tent maker. The Lord himself was a carpenter. You know, I think sometimes we, and by the way, each one of them were called where they worked. We didn't wait for them to come to church or to come to a religious ceremony before we reach them. When we mentor people, we mentor them where they are. And God sometimes uses our workplace in mentoring. I told you I had a story to share with you, and it was yesterday... I saw the story of a young man. His name was John Ponder. And the president in the White House garden introduced him. He said, this is John Ponder. He grew up with no father. He grew up in crime. His mother tried her best to help him, but she could not help him. He ended up in prison because he was guilty of several thefts. When he was in prison, he began to read the Word of God. It was shared with him, and he began to accept Jesus Christ and then share with other prisoners. When he got out, the FBI agent who had sent him to prison, which name was Richard Beasley, said to him, I was praying for you from the time I met you, and I want you to know that I can help you. Richard Beasley, who was an FBI agent at the FBI, has established a ministry, and it is with other FBI agents to take those who have come out of prison and get them back in the workforce and to help them reassociate, but through Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I am seeing more and more and more and more people who are saying, I cannot but share Jesus Christ in the workplace. If we don't share it there, we're going to miss our opportunities, many of them. And I'm not saying that you preach when you ought to be working, but I'm saying that there are opportunities that come to us daily in our workplace. As a matter of fact, God put us there, and he put us there for reasons. I also heard of a young man who was led to Jesus recently at a Bojangles, and I met him. He works over here at this Bojangles, but he also was over on the other side of town. I guess they flip flop, but he told how he came to Jesus at Bojangles. Somebody led him to Christ there. I want you to notice next, though, Elijah was a wealthy man, but yet immediately he left to follow Elijah. I don't believe that came from Elijah's great ability to lead him. I believe the Holy Spirit had prepared his heart. I've been listening a lot to Ravi Zacharias, and he's a great apologist and a great man of God. And Ravi said that there's a great new movement amongst Muslims, and he's watching it happen. And he says it's always predicated or preceded by visions and dreams. Hundreds of them are receiving visions and dreams. In the book that I've got that I'm reading at home, it's I Sought Allah and Found Jesus. A great book if you get an opportunity. It's a Muslim young man who at the University of Old Dominion met Jesus, and his roommate was the one that led him to Jesus. But I want you to know it was preceded by a vision and a dream that he had, that Jesus was standing at a door asking him to come in. Now, I want you to know something. Why is God doing that? Because we're finding one of the only ways that Muslims really accept or will come to Jesus is when they have visions and dreams. So it's not like when we talk with Muslims that they are hard and you can't reach them if God has already sent them a vision and is opening their hearts. God is preparing the way for us to mentor people, and he's calling us to do that. He prepared the way for Elisha, and Elisha immediately dropped everything, all his wealth, and he followed Jesus. Followed Elijah and followed the living God. Following and trusting God means you do not fear for God. You do not fear hunger, for God has called you and anointed you with a task. You do not fear enemies, for God's rod and his staff, they protect you. You do not fear loneliness, for God will never leave you. You do not fear rejection, for they even rejected our Savior, Jesus Christ. You do not feel failure, for God has called you and will never fail you. You do not fear sacrifice, for God will supply all your needs. You do not fear loss of life, for God will bring you into the kingdom. A mentor needs to train the trainee to trust God and his word. Trust God with your prayer life. Trust God with your marriage. Trust God with your job. Trust God with your finances. Trust God with your children. Trust God with your future. If you're mentoring people, you tell them, trust God. Elijah did not end his ministry as soon as he passed the mantle. What did he do? He stayed with Elisha for a few years, teaching and training and leading. Because Elisha was willing, was he ready? No. Is everybody that's willing ready? No. But the willing is the key. Someone that's willing, God can use them. Imagine the mentoring. When some of us go, I'm not ready to mentor somebody from who's been in prison or somebody who's got, had this kind of background. I mean, imagine the mentoring that took place with Peter, a man that easily denies Jesus, a man who messes up, who swings a sword at a quick moment. Imagine the mentoring that took place with Paul, an enemy of the cross of Jesus Christ. Imagine the mentoring with Mark, a mama's boy who just wanted to quit and go home. Imagine the mentoring that took place with Joseph, a dreamer. His head was always in the clouds. Imagine the mentoring that took place with David, an adulterer. Imagine the mentoring that took place with Moses, a murderer on the run. Imagine the mentoring that took place with C.S. Lewis, the great author, who was an intellectual atheist professor. Imagine the mentoring that took place with you. There is someone out there that needs mentoring, and God is calling you to reach out, to touch, to place on them the mantle so that you can pass on what God has gifted you with. Let us pray. Father, I pray and ask in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, the one who has already prepared those that we will talk with, those that we will meet, has already prepared us and will continue to prepare us to be like us. I pray and ask, dear Father, that you would just help us to drop the oxen long enough to do the task, to be committed enough to serve you, completely submitted to your service and your kingdom. Now, dear Lord, we look around us and we see a lot of evil, and we know that we need to be renewed and we need to be brought into a saving relationship, but also we need to reach others and bring them into the kingdom. Now is the time, Lord. Now is the time, and we pray and ask that we might follow you right now in the name of Jesus.